Let's go ahead and get started. Father, we just commit this time into your hands. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us concerning the words of eternal life. So we trust now, Lord, that you'll speak to every one of us. Amen. Okay, great. Thank you. I'll put these over here. Now, the notes are to take notes on, right? Okay, and I find that it's always helpful. Actually, I find it's helpful to take notes even if I never even look at them again, which that's not what I'm recommending, but because just the act of writing something down kind of seals it in my mind. Now, even better is to look at it afterwards, okay? So anyway, this week and next week, I'm going to have these notes for you to take notes on. Of course, we'll have some slides as well. And so we're doing this workshop, and this is a workshop that I'm, like I said, I've been developing for times when I'm gone to other places. It's based on the book that we've put together, Words of Eternal Life. And the idea for this book is not just for us to read it, but for us to use it to help other people understand what the words of eternal life are. So that's, if you were to ask, why are we doing this workshop? It's basically because we've been entrusted with the best news ever, the words of eternal life. And really, in spite of what sometimes we think, people really do want to hear. In the past, I mean, probably for about 30, 35 years, probably every 5 or 6 years, I've taken a group of people out, usually students, to college campuses or I can remember a number of years ago, we kind of took the buses around here in Summit County, and we did surveys. And the surveys were usually about 5 or 6 questions. I've kind of changed it around, and basically it's kind of getting people's ideas about what they believe about God, what they believe about Bible. And many people, they kind of, oh, I don't believe that. I don't really believe in God. Yeah, I don't think I really believe in the Bible. But the last question I always put is something about eternal life. And it's amazing. People who've kind of said 30 seconds before, oh, I'm not so sure I believe in God. When you bring up the subject of eternal life, all of a sudden they're interested. And so I might say, would you like to know more about eternal life? And they'll say, yeah, sure. Because it's something that faces every one of us, right? Because every one of us are living a life that at some point we're going to be at the end of our life. And the question is, with all of us, is what happens afterwards? And so people who even have ideas about eternal life that are kind of a little crazy, all of a sudden, when you start talking about what God's Word says about it, they get tuned in. So people are interested. Now, even more so if a person happens to be going through a midlife crisis where, wait a minute, I'm already midway through my life and I'm not sure what I've made of my life yet. Is this all there is to it? People start asking questions. Or sometimes if someone is faced with a serious illness, or maybe someone close to them has died, or situations like this really gets people to want to hear about what the Bible has to say about eternal life. So please don't be deceived into thinking that people don't want to hear. They do. And yet, even in spite of the fact that a lot of people want to hear, for most of us, it can be sometimes painfully uncomfortable and awkward to share the message that is the best news ever. So this book was written for this purpose, to help people to share the good news. Because we most of us want to share. And people want to hear, but how do you get into a conversation? And if you do, what do you need to say? And often, the people we're sharing with, sometimes they feel kind of awkward too. You know, they'd like to ask a lot of questions, but maybe they just don't feel they can trust us enough to kind of share about maybe deep feelings. Or perhaps they don't even know what questions to ask. And so to be able to kind of hand a person, if we're talking to them, a book like this, it's surprising how, oh yeah, I want to kind of hear what the Bible has to say. So this is a book dedicated to kind of helping people. My personal experience is people want to know. Just one example, I may have shared this before, but back 3 months ago or so, Nelson's sister passed away. She was very young, what, in her early 40s maybe, something like that. And Nelson asked if I could say a few words, kind of memorial service. And I remember before I went, I thought, you know, maybe I should take a book or so just in case. And then I just kind of felt like, no, take more. Take some in English and Spanish. And to be honest, I felt a little awkward about it. I actually got a little grocery bag and put them in there where people wouldn't see me handing these in, coming in. And I shared maybe 10 minutes. The last 2 minutes, I just said something about eternal life. And I can't even remember what I shared, but it was very short. And I said, by the way, if anyone would like to know more about eternal life, I happen to have a book that can explain more, but I'll give it to you free if you really will read it. Well, afterwards, about 20 people came around wanting that book. And I only had 15 of them. And we're talking about a crowd of maybe 50 people, 55 people. A lot of you were there. But that just shows the show that people want to hear this message. They really do. And we can't fall for that lie, because it is a lie that people don't want to hear. So this workshop is to help us to be more familiar with the message and to give some practical suggestions on how to share and how to use this particular book, okay? Now, I want to say, first of all, if you're going to use this book, I encourage you to read it, okay? Even more, study it. In fact, I would suggest that every time I give a passage in there, go look at it. Because if we're going to be messengers of the words of eternal life, we need to be familiar with the message, right? You know, that kind of only makes sense, you know. And by the way, I think we should know, at the minimum, we should know almost everything the Bible says about eternal life. And that's very doable. We should be able to do that. And because people want to hear. Actually, this is kind of a tip. I found that the most effective way to use this book is to, if you get in a conversation with someone, say, listen, I have a book that our church put out about the words of eternal life. Would you be interested in reading it? If so, I'll give it to you free. And most people say, yeah, I do that. And then what I do is I'll kind of say, by the way, after you read it, if you have any questions, I would love to talk to you about it. Then that way they're asking you questions. And that's a lot easier. And so I might even say, just kind of make little notes in the margin about questions you have. And to be honest, when we first put this book together, it was about twice as thick, because there's always more to add. But we kind of felt like, you know, we really need to make it, you know, something people can kind of read in an hour, hour and a half, something like that. So we kind of cut it back. And I remember thinking, it's probably good that we don't cover every single verse and every little truth about eternal life, because that way it allows people to want to ask questions. And asking questions is very important. Okay, so very important that we become familiar with the message of eternal life. We talked about this last week, but all of us are called by God to share this message, to preach it, to give testimony, to be salt and light, to be ambassadors for his kingdom, to spread the words of eternal life. And last week, I gave an illustration that I want to repeat, because I think it captures the heart of why we need to be sharing. Let's suppose that you discovered, probably by accident, a cure for cancer, all cancer, something that basically it costs you nothing to do. And we talked about how maybe you might have a couple friends that will say, hey, listen, what you should do is charge $10,000 for the cure. And that would be a great deal to people. And it would be, right? $10,000, people pay a lot more than that if they have cancer. And you know what? You become a multi-billionaire in the next 6 months. But, you know, you think about it and you kind of decide, you know, I've known some people who've died of cancer. I just want to give it out free. And so you decide to do that. But you're amazed because not everyone accepts it. You know, some people think you're crazy. Oh, that's a fraud. That's a hoax. That can't be true. Maybe even cancer doctors and hospitals and drug companies, they even kind of say, no, there's no scientific evidence for this cure. Well, it doesn't really make any difference if you have scientific evidence, as long as it works, right? But, you know, you all of a sudden you come under pressure. And you say, should I just stop sharing? And, of course, the answer is, of course you're not. Even though some people won't believe you, there'll be a lot of people who will. And they're going to try it. And I think that's the way it is with the gospel, with the words of eternal life that we're talking about. It is much more important than a cure for cancer. Because if you get cured of cancer, you're still probably going to die eventually, right? But we're talking about eternal life. I mean, actually, if we could bottle this up and sell it for $10,000 a bottle, almost everyone in the world would want it. Especially if it was scientifically approved, whatever that means, you know. And so somehow we need to start kind of thinking that we have a message to get across. It's the greatest message ever because it promises eternal life for people. Will people reject us? Yes. Will people make fun of us? Yes. But many people will listen and their lives will be changed literally for eternity. So we got to keep that in mind. We cannot remain silent. God has called us to share this message. So this message, really, it's simple, but yet it's profound too at the same time. And that's one reason why we need the Holy Spirit to open people's eyes. And one reason we pray that God will open eyes for people to see it. But we also need to realize that this message has been misunderstood and even distorted by many people. Pastors, churches, theologians, sometimes the message has been watered down. Sometimes the message has been overcomplicated, overanalyzed. Often just ordinary Christians. I mean, sometimes I hear Christians talk about, well, this is what it means to go to heaven, or this is what it means to have eternal life. And I sort of cringe inside because I think, wait a minute, that's not exactly right. Where did you get that? And then I think the media does a bad job of distorting it too. You know, the media sometimes makes it Christianity a political issue. Wait a minute, does that have anything to do with politics? Or sometimes TV and movies, they make the Christian look like a monster who's trying to, you better believe this, you better believe what I believe, or I don't accept you. I mean, just kind of ridiculous stuff. So we got to remember that, yes, the message has been distorted. It's been misunderstood, but that's not a reason for us not to share. Actually, it's more the reason for us to share, because people need to have a true understanding of what the scriptures say. Actually, there's a spiritual war going on over this. It's between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness does not want people to understand what it means to receive eternal life. And the kingdom of darkness doesn't want us to share the message. So we need to kind of realize that a lot of this misunderstanding is the work of the kingdom of darkness. So we have to kind of keep doing what we're called to do. And remember, people want to hear this message, especially when it comes to what happens after death. Another thing we should probably mention is that, and I've heard this a lot, whenever I start talking about eternal life, there's some people who are going to say, well, this is what I believe about eternal life and what happens after death. They have no basis for it. It's just something they thought of. It could be, yeah, when we die, we're all going to turn into kangaroos and panda bears or something, you know. And you know, okay, well, that's kind of nice that you kind of think that. But just because you think that doesn't mean it's going to happen. What we are sharing is based on God's word. And that's what we want to share, not our own ideas. And we don't want to just, let's don't be intimidated by what people say about eternal life. Because most of the time, it's just something they kind of thought of, or they heard on the radio, or read on the internet, and they thought, well, that sounds kind of cute. But you know what? If you start sharing God's word, they'll immediately want to hear that. Because deep down, they know that they're ideas about kangaroos and panda bears, you know, it's just their idea. Okay, so it's important that we base what we say on God's word. It's not our thoughts, so it's not our ideas versus your ideas. And in today's society, that's the way a lot of times we, you know, people say, oh yeah, well, that's kind of neat that you think that. This is what I kind of think. Well, it doesn't matter what I think or you think. What does God say? Okay? And so don't be intimidated by or put off when people come across that way. Our message is God wants us, those whom He has created, to live forever with Him, to have fellowship with Him. And He offers this to mankind as a gift. It's a gift. Now, eternal life, there's some things in the scriptures that there's only a few things mentioned. But there's some things where it's mentioned over and over. And one of those things is eternal life. Jesus especially, in the Gospels and especially in the book of John, talks over and over about eternal life. Do we understand everything about eternal life? No. But we do know a lot about eternal life. Things that we know for sure. I want to give you a few things that, because people need to, you know, sometimes, and this is the way it's kind of presented maybe in books or movies, is that when we die and we go to heaven, we get little wings, white wings. We're like little angels, and we fly around everywhere and in the clouds. And I can remember thinking as a kid, wow, that sounds kind of neat, maybe for the first day or the first month or the first year, but it seems kind of boring after that. You know? And the thing is, that's really not a biblical, you know, description of heaven or eternal life. So let me just share just briefly, because we need to be experts in eternal life. If we have received God's gift of salvation, our names are immediately written in the book of life. Sometimes it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And upon dying, if our names are in the book of life, we will go to be with the Lord Jesus. Actually, when we die, there's sort of a separation. Our spirit, our soul, goes to be with Jesus, and our bodies are buried, and they start a process called decaying, right? Okay. Now, we also know from the scriptures, it's very clear that Jesus is going to come back. When is that? We don't know, but He's going to be coming back, And when he does come back, all those who've died and all those who belong to him will be resurrected from the dead. Actually, our bodies will all of a sudden come back together from the decaying, and they'll arise, and they will meet Jesus in the air, and then our spirit, our soul, will reunite with our body at that time. If we happen to be alive, which maybe some of us may, when Jesus comes back, then we immediately rise up to be with him. So when Jesus comes back, all those who've ever received the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, we all will meet with Jesus in the air. Okay? Now, at that time, the Lord will give us new immortal bodies. These new bodies will not get sick. They'll never die. You can't get hurt. The physical infirmities that maybe we walked with in this lifetime will no longer be there. I won't need glasses. I'll be able to see perfectly. You know, if you've got some other aches or pains or something wrong, it will be completely made right because we'll have new bodies that will live forever, that will never die. These are resurrected bodies. And this is the promise of the coming resurrection that happens when Jesus comes back. Another thing, at that point, all those who belong to Jesus, who are part of his kingdom, we will begin living free from all sin. Now, in this earth, after we even give our life to the Lord, we have good intentions, but sometimes what happens to those good intentions? We fall, don't we? We sin. We make mistakes. At that point, we will be sinless. There'll be no more selfishness, greed, pride. There won't be pain and hurt in our lives. Actually, life for us will be restored to the way it was before the fall in the Garden of Eden. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty amazing to me, incredible. But that's the promise that God gives us, that we're going to live forever. We're going to have resurrected bodies. We're going to be free from sin. Now, there's some questions that we still have, like a question I remember thinking about, and I finally just had to realize, well, I'll find out when I get there. How old will my body look? Will it look like a 10-year-old? Or will it look like a 40-year-old? Or will it look like a 60-year-old? I don't know. But somehow our bodies won't be aged. So there are questions we don't know. But we do know a lot of things, you know. So what happens between death and the time we're reunited with our bodies? Because remember, our souls go to be with the Lord. And at that time, it appears that we retain our personalities. It appears that we can communicate with one another. So I could say, "Hi, grandmother. You know, how you doing?" You know, it appears that we are going to be aware of what's happening here on earth. But most important, we'll be living with Jesus. And we'll be enjoying his fellowship. We also enter into that time or that realm called eternity, in which waiting and being subject to time no longer apply. Like today, in this earth, I'm limited to time. I can't go back in time, can I? I can't go forward in time. I have to wait for it. But once we're in eternity, somehow all those little boundaries and restrictions seem to disappear. Again, I can't explain it. But that's just what we're told in the scriptures. Now, for 1,000 years after his return, it could be a literal 1,000 years. It could just be an age. It could be 10,000. We don't know. But there's going to be a time after his return that we will still be living here on earth. A lot of people don't realize this, but we will be reigning with the Lord and King Jesus here on earth. We'll have responsibilities. We have work to do. But the work that we do is going to be different because Remember, at the fall, work was part of the curse. Because we worked, why? We work whether we like it or not, because it's we got to do it to have money, to be able to kind of feed ourselves, to all that. That whole system's going to be gone. But there will be responsibilities that we have. And I don't know what, but I know that we've been created in the image of God. And God is a creator, right? I mean, just look what He's created, the mountains, the snow. I mean, every snowflake's different. He's a creator. And we've been created in His image. And so there's that creative aspect of us. So I have a feeling that in eternity, the work and responsibilities that we have will be making use of our creativity. And it won't be contaminated by sin. Another thing we know about eternity is that the sphere of influence and responsibility that we have, or we will have, is going to be largely determined by our faithfulness here on this earth, in this life. You know, are we being fruitful here? If so, God says we're going to be given more responsibility. And so that kind of makes us ask a question. Which would we rather have? Would we rather have a full life here with lots of money, lots of possessions, lots of whatever we want to have? Or would we rather have that on the other side of eternity? Well, you don't have to be very smart to figure out, well, here I have so many years left, maybe 70, 80 years left if we're kind of younger, 10 years old or so. If you're my age, probably not that long, you know. But let's say 100 years. And then in eternity, how many years is it? It just goes on and on and on. That's where our investment should be. And so how we are faithful here determines what we're going to, our role and our responsibilities there. Another thing about eternity, many of the prophetic passages in the Old Testament about the glorious kingdom will take place during that time. There appears in this 1,000 years or 10,000 or whatever it is, it appears that there will still be living people. There will be people living as mortals. People being born, people will die, but we'll be living through all of it. There will be people struggling with sin, but the people of God are going to have the responsibility to rule and govern with godliness, with wisdom, with justice, with authority. It won't be like rulers here do. You know, we'll be able to do it in godliness because we're going to be doing it with our Lord Jesus. Well, what about after the 1,000 years? Or whatever that age is. Well, that's when the details get sketchier. We know there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. And we know that God has, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that we cannot begin to understand all the things that God has for us in store in the future. So probably there are just so many wonderful things that there's not even human words to describe what we're going to be doing. And I don't know about you, but when I try to think about eternity and living forever and ever and ever and ever, it almost makes my mind hurt because I can't think that way. But that's the way it's going to be. So that's the eternity. And brothers and sisters, that is amazing. That's better than a cure for cancer because it's something that's for eternity. It's the most incredible gift that the world has ever heard of. But sadly, a lot of the world hasn't heard of it. And so we need to share that. So what is the message that we're to proclaim? God offers to man this gift of eternal life that we've just been talking about. How can God do that? What's the legal basis of that? Well, the legal basis of how he can do that is at the beginning, sin came with a penalty. Those who sin will be penalized, and that penalty is death, right? So God arranged to have his own son, Jesus, to live a perfect life here on earth, and therefore he was qualified to die on our behalf. And so that's exactly what he does. He dies because someone has to pay the penalty of sin. And so instead of me or you or everybody else doing it, God came up with a plan that he said, my own son will do it for you. And that's his gift if we receive it. And so his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, brings total forgiveness. That's the legal basis of how God can offer this gift. But it's a gift that has to be received. And it's a gift that people need to know about. That, yes, we all deserve to die, but God, Jesus, died on our behalf that we could live with him and live forever. And by the way, no other religion offers eternal life as a basis of, on a basis of a gift. There's always strings attached. In fact, most of the time, you've got to be a real good person to get whatever they're presenting. And that good life is always kind of foggy. It's always fuzzy. For example, in Islam, Islam talks about paradise. And basically it's live a good life and you may get to go to paradise. Do you know for sure? No. In fact, the Quran says even Muhammad himself cannot guarantee that he's going to be in paradise or not. That's kind of strange, isn't it? You know, I guess it's depends on when you die and Allah's there. I don't know. Maybe it depends on what mood he's in. Okay, well, I guess I'll let you in, or no way, Jose, or whatever. I don't know. It's and you know, we could go through, because I've studied other religions. They're all kind of very, I mean, why would anyone want to kind of buy into a system like that? But Christianity, biblical Christianity, is that God died for us, and he's given us a gift of eternal life because he loves us so much. Now, some people may say, no, that can't be. It can't be that easy, just like that cure for cancer. But that doesn't stop us from proclaiming it. That's the message that we have. This gift is something supernatural. When you receive this gift, all sorts of supernatural things start happening. Now, you have to receive it by faith. Our sins are completely forgiven. How does that happen? It's something miraculous, something God does. We are declared righteous in his presence. Our names are written in the book of life, and therefore we have eternal life. The Holy Spirit enters us. We begin a true relationship with God. He places us, he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he puts us into a new kingdom called the kingdom of God. Regeneration happens. All these things happen the moment that we say, yes, Lord, I receive that gift. It's something supernatural. Maybe just a few thoughts about this word regeneration. It's a very important word we've got to know. And a lot of Christians don't understand it. But it goes back to John chapter 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who's a very religious, he's a religious leader in Israel. He knew this. He probably had most of the Old Testament memorized. And Jesus tells him, unless you are born again, or unless you are born from above, or unless you have a spiritual birth into the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, you won't receive it. And Nicodemus, like, you're telling me that I won't be a part of the kingdom of God? And so he repeats it. He says, that's right. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, it's something spiritual. It's not just all of a sudden, I'm going to start trying to go to church now. It's something that happens inside. Something tangible. It's a spiritual birth, just like we were in a physical birth. Nicodemus then kind of says, well, wait a minute, how do I be born again? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb? And he said, no. He said, it's a spiritual birth. Read about in John 3, or I think it's actually chapter 3 in here. We talk about it. It's something supernatural that goes. In fact, Jesus says to Nicodemus, he said, it's like the wind. You can't see it, can you? But you can see the results of it. Especially, you know, all the pine needles and the snow blows. You can see the result of it, but you can't see the wind itself. That's like the spiritual birth. You can't actually see the spiritual birth, but you can see the result of it. A changed life inside of you. And so that process of being born again or a spiritual birth is called regeneration. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not, I'm going to start doing better in my life. The Bible says you actually get a new life in a new kingdom. And that's called regeneration. And when that happens, it's supernatural. All of a sudden, our desires change. The things that used to excite us don't excite us anymore. We have new desires. We have new priorities. We have a new power to live out the Christian life. It's incredible. It's amazing. We have new life. Regeneration is something that God supernaturally gives to us the moment we receive this gift. It is not a prayer we pray, although it may include a prayer. It's not a change in belief system. Okay, I didn't believe in God, but now I believe in God. No, it's more than that. It's something that happens inside. It's not trying to be a good person or start going to church or I'm going to stop smoking or I'm going to stop this or that. All those things may be, you know, it does, you know, you're going to want to go to church. You're going to want to study God's word. But that's not really what makes us a Christian, biblically speaking. It's not what gives us eternal life. It's a gift. And that's the message we need to be getting out to people. Let's just talk a couple minutes about false conversions. Is it possible to think that we're a Christian or born again or regenerated and not really be? I believe so. Now, I don't think it's my job or anyone else's job. I think she's a real Christian. I don't think she is. Him, I think he is. Only God knows, and probably the person here. But it's possible that people could make some type of an emotional decision, maybe out of pressure, or maybe to get out of a difficult situation. They may say, okay, I want to follow you, God, but they really don't know what they're talking about. Some people think, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian because when I was 25, I started going to church and I started getting serious about God. Well, that's good, but it's possible that we could miss something. And what would we be missing? The regeneration part. One of the reasons I wrote this book is because in my 40 years of ministry, I'm constantly meeting people who, when I talk to them about eternal life, they say, I think I am. I remember praying a prayer when I was 10 years old. Or I think this, but I'm not really sure. There's a lot of people who are confused. And so one of the reasons I just wanted to kind of, let's just kind of cover all the basics. Does that include you? If it does, good. If it doesn't, or then do something about it. Or if you're unsure or you have doubts, you know what I suggest? Make a fresh commitment to the Lord. That's okay. Actually, when I was in my teens and maybe even once when I was in my early 20s, I can remember saying, Lord, I think I really know you. I think I received that gift of eternal life. But if I haven't, I really want to, I'm really telling you right now, I want to receive that by faith. Now, I don't do that now because I'm really sure. But those first couple years, I thought I was. I wasn't sure, but you know what? It's too big of a deal to kind of just, well, I guess I'll find out when I die. No, don't wait and find out when you die. Settle it now. That don't make sense. So this is one of the reasons for doing this is to really to explain very clearly where we can kind of make an evaluation. Okay, just a couple little practical things here. We cannot make regeneration happen for someone. We can pray for someone. We can point them in the right direction. We can answer questions. We can give them a book. We can, but each individual person has to make that decision themselves. Let's don't push anyone, because that can be a recipe for a false conversion. And again, that's one of the reasons that people have doubts. And usually if you get into conversations with people, they'll start kind of expressing, I'm not real sure. And you know what? They may very well be, at some point in their life, really open their life to the Lord. And their names may be in the book of life. And maybe they got just distracted. That happens to a lot of people. But it's important that we, as messengers of the words of eternal life, help people know for sure. A couple other practical things, and I've already kind of said this. Read the book carefully. Read over the passages. Become an expert in the topic of eternal life. Sometimes I look at it this way. If someone were to tell me, Mike, in March, you're going to move to, we'll pick a country, Morocco or Israel or whatever, you know, and you're going to live there for 3 years. What am I going to do between now and March? I'm going to find out as much about Morocco as I can. I'm going to understand the history. I want to know the culture. I want to know what the language is. I want to learn everything about it. And if I'm going to spend eternity somewhere, it only makes sense that I should kind of understand where I'm going and what it's going to be like. I may not know all the details, but I want to find out as much as I can. For me, as well as share it with someone else. Pray for opportunities. There are times when God starts working inside of a person. And I believe almost in everyone's life, there's at least one time, there's usually several times, where it seems like God's trying to get their attention. People are kind of keep crossing their paths that are Christians. Circumstances seem to be falling in the right certain way. Maybe there's difficulties that make you kind of say, Lord, is this what it's all about? But this is part of God drawing a person to himself. How do we know who those people are? Because in Summit County, there's probably several thousand people right now who God's drawing. How do we know? We pray. God can show us. He can say, hey, that person works at Safeway, or your neighbor, or that coworker of yours. He's going through something right now. You can't see it, but he's asking a lot of questions on the inside. Or maybe we just trust that God's going to lead us across a path of people who are hungry. But if we pray, God will answer that. These are called divine appointments. You know that God leads us to talk to someone and they know God's trying to speak to me. I've had a lot of people say that. Yeah, you know, it's not a coincidence I'm talking to you today. And I'll say, no, I don't think it is. One thing I do is I carry a few books in Spanish and English around with me in the car, in my backpack, everywhere. And because you never know when those opportunities are going to come. Actually, there was an occasion about 2 weeks ago where I didn't have a book and I wish I had. And but if we're praying and we have our eyes open, God will start opening up opportunities for us. Actually, I have a list. It's got about 10 people on it, of just people here in Summit County that at the right time, I'm going to share this with. You know, it may be 3 years from now. It may be 3 days from now. But it's something that once a week or so, I kind of look at that. Oh, yeah. There's a person at Walmart. There's a neighbor. There's, I don't probably need to tell you who they are, but there's people. I encourage you to do that too. And do you think God, who wants all people to kind of hear the words of eternal life, he's going, if you've got a heart to share, he's going to put people in your path. Another thing I do, actually I don't have it in this one, but the little invitation cards to Emmanuel Fellowship, they're on the back table. I try to keep one of those in. Then that way, if it's someone around here, I'll even kind of say, yeah, by the way, if you read it, if you're kind of interested in hearing more, you know, our church talks about this a lot. You know, here's an invitation. We'd love to have you with us. You don't have to push people. Pushing people won't really help anyway, but just extend the invitation. That's why we call that an invitation card. It's not a push card. It's an invitation card. Well, I think this is probably a good place to kind of end for today. We'll kind of pick up on this next week. But let's pray, and I trust that this is being helpful. The purpose of the workshop, two things. One, just to make you more familiar with the message. And second, to provide practical tips of wanting to share this with others. And again, if you haven't had a chance to read or study through this, or if you have, you feel like you want to have a couple more, talk to Jennifer. She's got some, she's got the books there, and I think this week we're expecting a whole lot more. So, Father, we want to thank you once again for this incredible, amazing, unbelievable message of eternal life, this gift that if we respond to you in faith, that you give us the gift of eternal life and you do something supernatural in us called regeneration. Lord, we don't deserve it. We acknowledge that. Lord, we're humbled by the fact that you, Almighty, Holy God, are giving a gift like that to insignificant people like us that are imperfect, sinful. But Lord, we thank you, we praise you. And now, Lord, we recognize that you're calling us to spread the word about eternal life. Lord, give us a boldness. Give us a love and compassion, because, Lord, that's really what it's required, is having a love and compassion for people that we want to share. Lord, give us a confidence. And, Lord, we ask that you would open up many opportunities for us in this new year, 2018. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.